In the 8th chapter of John, verses 1 through 10, verse 1 through 11, Jesus has told a woman in verse 11, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." She was caught in the act of adultery and drug into his presence, and they wanted him to state that she needed to be stoned to death, which the law, of course, authorized. But he really shocks them when he says, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." Verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I'm not going to read all these following verses, but just want you to note that between verse 12 and verse number 28, Jesus states 8 times, "I am, I am, I am." Other passages, he states the same thing, "I'm the bread of life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life." But he uses a title, Old Testament title, that God gave to Moses when Moses asked him, "Who shall I say has sent me?" And God told Moses, "You tell them, I am, has sent me unto you." Now this portion of scripture is a contest between the Lord Jesus Christ and his deity, who he says he is, and the Pharisees, who will not believe that he is who he claims to be. Again, I don't want to read all of these verses. I trust you will take my word for it that he states over and over to these who are listening, "I am." For example, verse 23, "You're from beneath. I am from above. You're of this world. I am not of this world. I said, therefore, unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins." The importance of believing the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's before the Pharisees and the scribes, his enemies, who were constantly berating him. And why did they kill the Lord Jesus Christ? It wasn't because of all the good that he did, and he did much good. But it was because of what he said. And these two words inflamed them as much as anything you read in the Bible when he said, "I am." And they knew what he was talking about. But we'll continue to read further in this chapter. Let's begin in verse number 41. "You do the deeds of your father." They say unto him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." He also said in verse 39, I need to read this. "They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. A man that hath told you the truth, which I've heard of God, this did not Abraham." He's using Abraham. Of course, a lot of their conferences in Abraham and Moses. But he's using Abraham to show them their error, that they're following the wrong person, and they claim that Abraham is their father, and yet they're doing things that Abraham would never have done. And then they claim in the verse we just read that they're not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." If God were your Father, you would love me. And yet, you hate me. Back in chapter number 7, the very first verse, they're plotting to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. All through the Gospel of John, you see this mentioned time and again, how much they hated the Lord Jesus Christ, but more than anything else, for his words. And the world hasn't changed. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ for what he claimed. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ for what he says he did. Verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You're of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now these are scalding words. You're men that claim they're the children of Abraham, and yet they're doing things that Abraham would never have done. They claim that God is their father, and yet they hate the person of God in Lord Jesus Christ. And he is very blunt in this. You have a father, all right, but it's not Abraham. Now, physically in the flesh, they were the children of Abraham. But he's not talking about the flesh. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. Verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. I mean, how blunt can you be? How truthful can you be to tell people who claim to be the children of Abraham, claim to be the children of God, and Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. And because you don't hear my word, you're not of God. That's why you can't hear them. Reading further, then entered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast the devil? Now that was a real derision to a Jew to call him a Samaritan. Verse 49, Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father. You do dishonor me. And you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, but there's one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. They're really going to get angry now. If a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. The Old Testament saints have all died. What are you talking about? Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus in verse 54 answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if you should say, or if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. Now look closely at verses 56 through 58. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He brings Abraham back into it. Your father, physically, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. You're ranting and raving, calling me a devil. But Abraham saw my day. He rejoiced to see it, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. This verse really incenses them, because the next verse says, Then took they up stones to cast at him. But I want you to look at this verse closely. When Jesus said, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He looked forward to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saw it. Now, how did he see it? And he was glad. Let's turn back to the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 18. And understand some of what Jesus is saying in the context here, when he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. 18th chapter of Genesis. The Lord is preparing to go into the city of Sodom. But he appeared to Abraham in the plains of Mamre in verse 1. He sat in the tent. He sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest you yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye or your hearts after that ye shall pass on. For therefore you are come to your servant. Thou hast said, so do as thou hast said. And they said, so do as thou hast said. Abraham hastened to the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto the young men, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and calf, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? Now pay close attention to this, please. Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She was 90 years old. Actually, she was 89 at this point. Verse 12, Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Are we going to be able to come together and have this child that they're telling me about? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. I left out verse 13. I'm sorry. Back up a little. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, and according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. The men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? I wanted to read this concerning the promised birth of Isaac. In chapter number 23, he'll be born. I'm not going to read that, but they were told to call his name Isaac. You know what Isaac means? Laughing. Why was he called Isaac? Because Sarah laughed when she found out she was going to have a son. I don't think she disbelieved God. It had to be a lot. But when we read in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrew, we see Sarah's faith. She laughed because it seemed such a strange thing that being 89 years old and Abraham 99 years old, they were going to come together and have a child. But when we read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in our text, and he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad. Another passage we could read, but I think you're familiar with it. I won't turn and read it, but the 24th chapter of the book of Genesis. When God commanded Abraham to take that son Isaac, the only son he had, the son of a promise, the promised seed through whom Christ should come, and Abraham knew that. And they're going up to the top of the mountain, and Abraham is determined to take Isaac's life. And Isaac asks that question, Father, here's the wood. I've got the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham's reply was very telling. My son, God shall provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. When you read these passages, and there's more in the Old Testament concerning Abraham, but when you read that Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad, Abraham was a man of faith. He believed God. And we read in Hebrews chapter 11 why he believed God. Hebrews 11 verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. What a picture. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Everything depended on Isaac. Isaac was a promised seed, and yet he was going to take his life and offer him as a sacrifice to God. And verse 19 tells us why, and God stopped him. In Genesis 24, God stopped his hand before he took Isaac's life. Here's what the Bible says about this in verse 19 of Hebrews 11. According, understanding, knowing, having the assurance that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And I read this passage and it struck my curiosity to understand this. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. How did he see it? How did he see all those stars in the sky? And God said to him, so shall thy seed be. And the Bible says, Abraham believed God and was accounted unto him for righteousness. The same faith that enabled him to see those stars. He couldn't count them. But to believe the promise of God is the same faith that caused him to believe. And God said, in the next season, Sarah shall have a son. Sarah laughed. Again, not in derision, but it was such a wondrous and impossible thing. She was well past the age of having any children. But the man said, is anything impossible with God? No, nothing's impossible with God. But going back to our text, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it with the eye of faith. He didn't see it literally. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ would come. He saw that it would come through Isaac, and yet he was willing to take the life of Isaac because he knew God could raise Isaac from the dead, and all the promises of God were wrapped up in Isaac. That was the faith of Abraham. And That's what made him rejoice. That's what made him rejoice to see the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he would stand as he is here on this earth in our text, and be glad. He saw it and he rejoiced in it. Then said the Jews unto him in verse 57, thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? Now this is the staggering part of this, and I hope you'll please follow with me. You're not even 50 years old yet. Have you seen Abraham? Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, amen, amen. Surely, surely, of a truth, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. This is the last time in chapter 8 he says, I am. But how weighty it is, how wonderful it is that Jesus would declare plainly. Now, you may not fully understand this in English, but I didn't fully understand it either, so I went and got me a concordance. I looked into Strong's, and the word was means, and the word in the Greek is genomahi. He had not yet come into existence. He had never been born. Had not been seen on this earth. But before Abraham was, I am. I am the great I am of Exodus chapter 3. I am God. You wonder why they killed him. Here's the reason why they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at his trial before the great Sanhedrin, just before they crucified him, the high priest said, art thou the Christ, the Son of God? And he says, thou hast said that I am. In other words, you've just said the truth, and they don't even know it. And their answer was, what more witness need we? He hath blasphemed. Put him to death. But Jesus Christ repeatedly said, I am, I am, I am. And no one understood it except those to whom he revealed himself. It takes us back to John chapter 1. And I'm glad Mark read this a few minutes ago. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now who's this speaking of? Now we know in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, it's recorded that God said, let us make man in our own image. Who's us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but in a particular sense, it was the Word. It was the Word that spoke when light came into existence, because God said, light be, and light was. God spoke. Who is the Word of God? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the great I am? It's God the Father, it's God the Son, it's God the Holy Spirit, and there's no conflict there. When Jesus said to them, I am. And they got so angry, they picked up stones to stone him to death. But reading farther in 1 John, I noticed this. He was in the world, verse 10. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He walked on this earth, the earth that he'd created 4,000 years before. He came down to this earth, not in the Spirit, the Son. He came down to this earth and became flesh. And his name was Jesus. He was in the world. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Are they rejecting him in John chapter 8? You have a devil. You're a Samaritan. But as many as received him. You ought to thank God for the buts in the Bible. There's a lot of buts that you can read and you see how things change. His own received him not, but as many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They were born of God. They believed on him. That's how they believed. That's why they believed. God quickened them and made them alive spiritually. They were alive physically already. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is before me. Before Abraham was, I am. Again, you go to Strong's and you read the word was, Yanamahi, before Abraham was born, before he came into existence. And you read the word I was and you see ego, ego, imi. I am. I lived before Abraham lived. And all of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. Moses wanted to so bad. We preached on that Wednesday night. Oh, he wanted to see God's face. God put him in the cleft of the rock and let him see. He passed by and he let him see him from the backside. But no man has seen God at any time. He told Moses, if you see my face, it'll be too much. You'll die. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He hath led him forth into full declaration. That's why Jesus said to Thomas in John 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They saw him. They knew him. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath led him forth into full revelation. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Before he made anything, Jesus Christ was already there. He was there to make it. That's reasonable. We can understand that. How can he make something if he wasn't there? But he was there. He was God the Son. He's the only man that ever lived before he was born. All through the Gospel of John, you'll see this declared time and time again. But I love this teaching. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, when Jesus says that, you need to mark it down. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You can believe that. You can put your eternal destiny in that promise. Before Abraham was, before he was in existence, before he came into this world, before he was born, I was already there. He knew Abraham. He was there when that promise was made, I believe, that Sarah should have a son. So he could speak about Abraham knowingly. He knew his faith. As you go on in chapter 18, we didn't read this. He said, I know Abraham, but he shall command his children after him. And that was certainly a true statement. Before Abraham was, I am. This exalts Jesus Christ far beyond our understanding. I know that. I am. You know, we think of ego, which is the Greek word. Man has ego. we said ego, but if a man has ego, you know, he thinks too much of himself. But how could the Lord Jesus Christ ever think too much of himself when he always existed? He created all things. He's the life of men. In him was the life of everything. He created all things. How could he have what we commonly think of in our terms as ego? But that's the Greek word. That's where it came from. I am. This exalts Christ. And the result will usually be as it is here, reading this last verse, 59. Then took the up stones to cast at him. You tell people that they're not the children of Abraham. You tell them they're of their father, the devil, and they're ready to stone you. They might not get to do it because they're afraid to do it, but they want to. And that's exactly what they did to the Lord. And eventually, again, the seal of his doom and the court of the Sanhedrin was when he answered their question, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of God?" And he said, "Thou sayest that I am." You've just said what I am. I am the Christ. I am the Son of God. What further witnesses need we? He's worthy to die. To them it was blasphemy. But in all, any way you can look at it, it was the truth. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He's worthy of being your Lord. He's worthy of being my Lord. He's worthy of worship. That's why we're here today. We come here to worship him because on the first day of the week, he raised from the dead. And he commands us to come together on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, and give him glory for who he is and what he's done in a personal sense. This doesn't mean nothing to you. I said this in the funeral the other day. The Word of God doesn't mean a thing to you until you take it personal. Is Jesus your Lord? Have you come to the end of yourself and turned to this man who claimed to be I am? That word I am in the Old Testament is very powerful. I am that I am, God said. I'm the ever-existing, self-existing God. There's none else. And Jesus claimed that title as freely as God the Father did when he talked to Abraham there in Exodus chapter number 3. That's our message today. In closing, I preach this message feeling and knowing and realizing I can never do it justice because the subject is the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're not saved, don't you think it a wonderful thing that a man of such power, a person of such recognition in heaven and in earth, should offer himself as your Savior? The message of the gospel is very simple. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What do you need to believe? You need to believe that he is indeed the I am. You need to believe that nothing's impossible with him because he is God. And you need to believe that he is the truth. And if the truth says to you, come to me, and I'll give you everlasting life, are you going to insult him? Or are you going to accept it? You're going to believe what he says. You're going to honor him. Humble yourself. And say, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I believe you're the Christ. I believe you're the only hope of every man. I believe what you said in John 14, 6. I'm the way. I'm the truth and I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Bow your heads. Father, thank you for your word. We've tried to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ as much as in us is. We feel that we could never really do it justice, but I pray that the Holy Spirit would take it and make it real in the lives of your people, those that are saved. Help us to understand who he is, how much we need to honor him, how much we need to obey him. Those that are lost, may they come to the end of themselves and understand the message of the Bible. You'll never see God until you see the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance, turning to him, believing that he is who he said he was, and that he died that you might be saved from your sins. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.